All right, somebody sent me this one, all right? If you can read it, here's what it says. Kids are like boats. They go in the right direction when they're paddled from the rear. All right, and that's what we're looking at. How do we discipline our children? And like I said, I think the earlier generation, those of us who are a little bit older, are like, yeah. Those of us who are younger have been told no. And so we want to look at the whole understanding of what it is to discipline our children the way God disciplines us. And that's kind of the application I want to make. If God disciplines us, then how should we discipline our children? And that's what I want to look at. If you have your Bibles, you can leave that up there, Tyler. That's fine. We'll move on with the rest of it. I want you to pick it up. We're going to read again, starting at verse 4 through verse 13. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 4 and reading through verse 13. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. And he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your weeble arms and weak knees. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. I was thinking weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. And I thought, no, not the right place. Okay. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. May God add the blessings to the reading of His word. Let's pray, and then begin the message. Father, thank you this morning for the word which you have given unto me. I pray as I've studied this passage this past 2 weeks, and as your Spirit has directed me in the study, I pray now again that your Spirit will direct me in the delivering of the message. That, Father, it would come not from me, but that I would simply be the instrument being used by your Spirit to bring forth the message to your people concerning your discipline and as well our discipline of others. Father, I pray your Spirit bless me now with the truth of your word and speak through me. In the name of Jesus Christ and by his power I pray. In the name of Christ I pray. Amen. All right, I've already started last week's, and I've already kind of covered my introduction. So what I want to do as I begin this morning is I want to give a couple of disclaimers, all right? If you were here last week, then you heard my introduction kind of to the message. Last week, we kind of looked at the beginning, and we looked at how God disciplines us because he loves us. This week, what we're going to do is we're going to continue looking at the fact that God disciplines us and why. But we're also going to try to transfer that over into the idea of if God disciplines us, then how do we discipline our children in a godly way? And so what I want to begin this morning with, and I realize I've got like 10 slides, so I realize I can only spend a couple of minutes on each one or it's going to get out of hand. And I want to as well be able to bring some people up to say, okay, how did you do this? As we try to get practical and a whole understanding of God's discipline. But I want to give you these disclaimers, and I want to do it as quickly as I can. Number one, the first disclaimer is kind of the idea of, if you do it right, they'll all come out all right. You know what I'm talking about? That if you just do what's right, your kids will come out okay. Now, how many of you think that's true? I mean, say, The idea is you can do it all right, and that doesn't guarantee a team. Now, let me do the counter side of that. If you do it all wrong, they'll come out all wrong. Let's just say it's better to do it right. Does that make sense? But at the same time, I want the disclaimer to be there because I don't want anybody to think that, you know, hey, if you do it right, everything will come out right. So I just kind of want to put that disclaimer up first of all. Number two, this is a little bit more that I want to do, and I want to emphasize this. If I do it right, then you should do it right. Now, why am I saying that? Last week, I got a little bit more personal in the sense of sharing some of my experience or our experience in raising our children. And so I used personal illustrations like, when we did this, man, when we raised our kids, we did it this way. And if you just do it the way we did it, then you'll have kids that turn out okay also. And I'm saying, no. All right? And I'll use this example. When we raised our children, because we were in the ministry, Lynette had to sit with six children around her feet. Now, let's be true that when the littlest one was the littlest one, the oldest one was, you know, I think there's like 13 or 14 years between Jennifer and Jameson. What's it? 16 years? Okay. So in other words, by the time the oldest one got older, the youngest one came along, you know. So my point was this. But we use the idea that when we kind of set it as a family thing, as a disciplinary principle, that if in church you misbehave and you need to go outside, mom has to take you out, she will spank you. Now, am I telling you all when you take your kids out of church, you better spank them? No, it's like the one dad who picked up his child and was walking out with him very discerningly, and the little boy from the underneath the arms of his dad cried out to the congregation, please pray for me! All right, so there is a sense in which, just because I did it, I'm not saying you should do it. I want to make that disclaimer right up front. I am trying to offer you suggestions and help, and I'm using personal illustrations in doing that. But that doesn't mean my personal illustrations need to become your illustration. So when you get home, you don't need to have an argument with your wife or your husband. Well, Don does it that way. So Don does. All right? All I can say is these are things that we've gone through. Now, I can also tell you this on this side. Okay, I'll come to this side now and say, I've done it wrong several times too. You can say amen that. That's okay. Right? And so we try to do it right. Sometimes we get it right. Sometimes we get it wrong. But the whole understanding is we need to be careful. Now, here's the third disclaimer I want to give. And again, I talked about it last week. I'm going to talk about it a little bit more in just a minute as I'm trying to lay some disclaimer foundations, footings here type thing. I want you to know that I believe society today tells us that if you discipline your children, you are abusive to them. All right? There's a sense in which if you are at Walmart and your child begins throwing a temper tantrum and you even apply the slightest little swat to their backside, the person down the aisle might be calling on their phone, DCFS, saying, this child person's abusing their child, you got to get here right away. I know that's an exaggeration, but there's a sense in which there is that kind of fear. Now, I just want to say two things, if I can, real quickly. And again, my time's going so fast that I just... DCFS has a terrible, tough job to do. Because they do need to come into homes where discipline is being abused. And it is abusive. I'm not saying that there are not those situations. that need to be addressed and need to be corrective. And DCFS needs to do their job and go in and protect those children from abusive situations. When parents are burning their children with cigarettes or placing their hands in boiling water because they spilled something, or putting their bottom sides in because they wet their pants, or doing... Do you understand what I'm saying? There is abusive situations. I am saying that I don't want that, and I'm not promoting that. But to say all discipline is abusive is just as erroneous. And I'm trying to promote, how do we discipline our children in a way that is not abusive? Does that make sense? At the same time saying we still need to utilize discipline of our children. And I'm using the word discipline. We'll talk about it more. But I'm using the word discipline also to include punitive discipline in the sense of corporal punishment, spanking. Right? I'm just laying everything out right at the beginning. So we have to be careful with that. I'm not in favor of abuse. Proper discipline is not abuse, but proper discipline is painful. Now we'll talk about that later on, and we'll talk about that in the small group as well. Does it have to be painful? I'll get to that in just a moment, but I do want to show you what Scripture says. All right? In verse 10. Is that where it is? Verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. So there's a sense in which the Scripture even itself describes what discipline should be like. If it's going to deter behavior or teach right and wrong, there is a sense in which some pain must be involved. Now, okay, I've said that. Let me go on to one other thing, and then we're going to fly into the message, right? Last week I looked at these five key issues in discipline. The first issue is personal issues. These are issues that, all right, how many of you were raised with a mom and dad who spanked you? How many of you were raised with one who didn't spank you? The way you were raised, the personal issues in which the way you were raised influences the way you raise children and the way you see the raising of children. And so my point is, we all have personal preferences, personal ideas, personal issues that we come to the table with. Secondly, we recognize there's social issues. I've already talked about that. Society is telling us today, do not discipline your children. If you discipline your children, you will limit their creativity. You know, you will hamper their growth. They won't grow up normal. You know, that basically it's abusive, so don't do it. I'm saying the Bible teaches something differently. And so then we come to what I've got down here, biblical issues, and that's the question of what does the Bible say? So this morning, and then Thursday night at the small group, what I want to do is I want to take our personal issues where we've all been raised, the way we view things, and the Bible, and say, how do we take what the Bible teaches, what we've been taught, what we grew up, and how do we integrate those two together so that our discipline is as well personal but also biblical? So that's what I'm trying to present today. But I have to, again, step over here and say, I don't want what's being taught today to simply be, this is what Don says. This is the way Don raises kids, so this is the way we should raise our children. I want it to be, this is what Don is saying, based on the Bible, we should do. I want you to be Bereans. I want you to take what I teach, take the Bible, and come up with what the Bible says you should do. Does that make sense? So that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about these key issues. Now, as well as I move on, when we go from the Bible, then we look at theological issues, and that's the fact that I believe God disciplines those whom He loves. It's right here in the passage. So how do we understand God's love for us in the light of discipline? And our disciplining of our children reflects God's love for us and for them by disciplining them. And so my point is, it's not just should I spank my kids or not, it's how can I discipline my children in a way that they see God's love for them in discipline. So it reflects upon God as well as discipline. That's why I feel so, I want to use the word emotional, but that's not it. So strongly compelled to teach this message, because it's not just about disciplining our children. It's about what the Bible says about disciplining our children. And it's about what God, how God demonstrates his love towards his children by disciplining them. And so I feel like that's an issue. And then the last issue, number 5, is the practical issues. How do we discipline this together? Now, I got to take a break. Anybody else need to take a break? No. I feel like I'm running a marathon at a sprint pace. So here we go, all right? If you have your notes, let's get your notes out. If you want to, get this life group notes out. You'll be able to follow along with that maybe as well. The first 2 points I've already given to you, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. But if you weren't here last week and you want to get the first 2 points, I preached them last week. You can go online, brimfieldefree.org, and you can click on sermons and you can pull up last week's sermon to get the first 2 points for this morning's message. I'm just going to highlight them real quickly as I run through it. First of all, we see, number 1, the biblical teaching on discipline is that discipline comes from God. We looked at this last week, and we need to understand that when God disciplines those he loves, we need to distinguish between God's discipline in the sense of God's training, God's discipline in the sense of God's punishment, and God's circumstantial situations in which we come up in which Christ, we like, what do we do? Is this guy? In other words, the question is, how do we know, because we got a flat tire on the car and the freezer went out this today, and now we got a flat tire in the car, and then, you know, the washing machine, that, oh my goodness, God must be disciplining me. But Scripture does say he does. So how do you know when God's disciplining you and when it's just circumstances that you're going through in life? So my point is, you need to take God's discipline seriously. All right? Coming from the Scriptures, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Don't take it lightly. Take it seriously. God does discipline those whom he loves. Secondly, we looked at last week, it comes from love. It is God's love of us that requires him to discipline us. And so we must come to an understanding that discipline, when properly applied in the right circumstances and the right ways, demonstrates God's love, not only unto us, but to our children. That's love? Whoa. Okay, now, here's another thing you can say. You remember how many of your parents grew up telling your kids, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. Anybody use that one? All right. Now you can say, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt me, and I really love you when I'm doing this. Because what do your kids say to you when they stomp off to their bedroom and slam the door behind them? Everybody heard it before? What do they say? I hate you. Okay. But we must understand that the teachings of discipline that are given here in Scripture come from God, and they demonstrate love, because love protects. It gives your children's boundaries. It corrects their behavior when they misbehave. It must be applied to correct their proper behavior, to develop proper behavior in children. And thirdly, it's from love. It reproves when there's rebellion, when they stand and say, no, I'm not going to do that. What are you going to do? You're going to lovingly discipline them. So take it lovingly. Now, are you ready to go thirdly? Here we go. I've taken a lot of time, and I'm trying to get through as quickly as I can so we can get all the other stuff done. Thirdly, it's for acceptance. It's for acceptance. Let's go back to the Scriptures. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. So you see, the Scripture is saying that those whom God disciplines, he disciplines as his son. And so we see that there's almost the sense in which God disciplines those whom he accepts as his son. So if you're undergoing God's discipline, it's only because you're his child. And God accepts you as his child. And so we can see there the fact then that discipline shows those whom you accept as your children. Now, I'm going to go through these real quickly. In fact, I'll probably put all three of them up, Tyler. First of all, we need to see that God accepts us inclusively. Notice what he says. It's for everyone whom are God's children. Verse 8, if you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children, not your sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us. And so we see here that discipline is inclusive, that all of us have received discipline at some time in our lives and at some point in our lives. And so we see that it's inclusive. It involves everyone. That we all are involved in understanding God's discipline. But secondly, I want to say it's instructive. It trains us in that which is right. Everyone undergoes discipline, and you're illegitimate children and not true sons if you haven't been disciplined. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? So if we've been disciplined by our fathers, how much greater is God's discipline? As God demonstrates his discipline unto us. And so I'm turning that kind of around the other way and saying, if God disciplines us to show our acceptance of him, then as well we need to train our children. It's instructive to train our children. Now, if you want to, write in your notes Ephesians 6:4. Ephesians 6:1-4 is the passage, children, obey your parents, for this is right, and long will be your life. And then it goes on to say, fathers, do not exasperate your children in the things of God, but do what? But rather bring them up in the nurture, or actually in the discipline, training, and nurture of the Lord. So it's used in that passage right there, that even fathers disciplining your children is a part of what God says, to train them in bringing them up in the nurture of the Lord. And then thirdly, it put down there, it's indicative of respect. Here's the point I want to say. Discipline causes your children to grow in respect. Now, this is where I'm getting a little bit more under the hobby horse. I'm going to go to the next page. Since discipline is for acceptance, take it personally. Understand God's personal discipline of you. For God does discipline those whom he loves. So we need to take it personally. And I mean that personally, not in the sense that only that God's going to discipline us, but take it personally and what you do as you seek to follow God and determine what you're going to do. Now, let me go quickly. I want to go. Okay, so how do we show some respect? Again, it's coming out of the scriptures. We respected them for it, is what the writer of Hebrews said. We were disciplined, and that discipline leads to respect. So what do we need to respect when it comes to our parents? Ways in which discipline leads to respect. Number one is it leads to parental authority. I will say this boldly and directly. It's been said to me, but I'm going to say it to you. You are not and you will never be your child's best friend. I shouldn't say never. Maybe when they grow up and they look back and they say, wow, Mom, you were great. Now can you be my best friend? But let me tell you, you will not be your children's best friend. So forget about Freaky Friday. God has given you the responsibility and the authority to raise your children. And a part of that authority is the disciplining, proper discipline of your children. And so parental authority, comes out of the idea of parental authority. Parental obedience. Parents, teach your children to obey you. If your children disobey you, what is the consequences? What is the results? Should result in discipline. Let me ask you this question. Does God discipline us when we disobey him? Right? Now, how does God do that? All right? If you discipline God, does he lightning bolt you right away? Not necessarily. He might let you go. He might let the consequences discipline you. There are different ways in which God disciplines us when we disobey Him. But we need to understand God disciplines disobedience. So should we. Thirdly, parental responsibility. Discipline teaches your kids to be responsible for their behavior. And so if your child is in Walmart laying on the floor kicking their feet because you won't buy them a piece of bubble gum, then you need to work on disciplining their behavior and teach them how to act responsibly. And to teach your children to be responsible in their behavior. Fourthly, all right, disciplining your children shows them to respect the boundaries. Now, when I grew up and in the raising of my kids, this was what was said. Again, just because Don did it doesn't mean you have to do it. I'm just using this as an illustration to tell you where I'm coming from when I say this point. My dad said, as long as you live under my house, you will live by my rules. Boom. There's the boundaries. When you turn 18 and you get out on your own, you can do whatever you want. Now let me ask you the question. Is that good advice? Because they will become 18. Now prayerfully, because I said that to Jason, and Jason turned around one day and said, Dad, I'm 18, and you said I can do it. But prayerfully, if you've disciplined your kids properly and you've raised them in accordance with the boundaries that you've established, when they get out and they test the boundaries, they will come back and know why you have boundaries. We used it last week, the idea of fences. You need to have fences for your children because fences provide safety. All right, so set boundaries for your kids. And then the fifthly, I put down here parental limits. Your kids need to know the limits. All right, here I'm going to get out a little bit of a hobby horse, so maybe I should come all the way down here, but I'll just stand up here. How many of you use the, I told you, one? That's one. Two? Which means what's coming? Huh? All right. Two. Three. And then what's going to happen? You're going to teach your kids fractions. Three and a quarter. Three and a half. Three and three quarters. Three and seven eighths. Why? Because you know you yourself don't really want to discipline your children. And my point is, if you use the three count, four had better never come. You know what I'm talking about? Set your limits. At three? Now, again, don't do it the way Don did it. If you're going to do a three count, why don't you just do a one count? All right? Now, again, this is the practical applications I'm talking about. But if you get to three, there better be some consequences. Or all you've done is taught your kids how to count to three. So, set some parental limits. You are the parent. Set your limits. And your kids need to know your limits. When I was younger and I had a car, because I turned 16 and my grandfather died, and my grandfather's car got passed down to my dad, and my dad's old beater car got passed down to me. I'll take just a couple minutes because this is nostalgia. I had a 1964 Dodge Dart with a push-button transmission. All right, those of you who are older know what I'm talking about. Lift up the lever out of park, push D for drive, and go driving down the road. Okay, I had a car. Okay, that was the first car I got. I could drive to work. After work, I would take people home from work. And I will tell you the fact that there were times in which I had people in my back seat smoking cigarettes that smelled kind of funny and made you feel kind of funny. Okay? Now, I'm not confessing this to say, do it. Like I said, don't do what Don does. But the whole time I'm doing that, my mind was thinking, if my dad ever finds out what's happening in the back seat of my car, I am in big trouble. Why? Because I knew my parents' limits. And I knew to go outside of those was going to bring trouble. Does that make sense? So, what am I saying? I'm saying show respect. All of you had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. So I'm just giving you how do we show some respect. Now, number four. It's for good. We discipline our children for their good. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. I say it again. As they thought best. I'm going to get into that in just a moment. But God disciplines us for our good. We discipline doing what we think is best. God disciplines for our good. Now let me ask you this question. Is God good? Is God all-knowing? Is God all-powerful? Does God want our best for us? Yes. So my point is when God disciplines us, He is disciplining us in His divine foreknowledge in the best way we can be disciplined. Now, how many of us have that, have those same opportunities? In other words, are we all knowing? No. Do we know all situations? No. Do we want our kids best? Yes. So how do we do this? Okay. It's for best. Now, I got on here. It should not be in anger. It should not be abusive. I'm going to get into this in just a moment. I've got more stuff to happening. All right. Secondly, I've got down it's for our best. It's only temporary. I'll get to this in just a minute. When we discipline our children, you deal with it and you get over it. All right? I'm going to spend a little bit of time on that. I'll get into it probably later on. But there's a sense in which when your kids are misbehaving at Walmart and you say, when you get home, you're not going to be able to play your video game. How effective is that to your children when they're not going to be home for 3 more hours? Okay, it's only temporary. Now, let me also go to the other side. When you exercise discipline in your children, they go off screaming to their bedroom. They slam the door behind them. How long does it take before they come back out? Let's just say an hour, maybe. Let's just say they sleep there all night, mad at you. Let's just say they get up the next morning and they do. My point is, what's going to eventually happen? They will event. It's only temporary. I was going to look it up this past week. I'll try to do it before Thursday night. There is a scripture that says, your kids may think they're dying when you discipline them, but they're not going to die. I mean, it comes from Proverbs. I'll try to find it. All right. So, it's only temporary. And then thirdly, it's necessary. It's for their good. It's necessary that you discipline so they are able to determine that which is good, that which is bad, that which is right, that which is wrong. So take it carefully. Be careful in your discipline of your children. So you don't do it out of anger. You don't do it inappropriately, but that you do it for their best and for their good. All right, does that make sense? Let me go on to this. Good discipline for their best. I've got two qualities. The first one is it's consistent. Last week, somebody gave me a card, gave Lynette a card, actually, and then gave it, and then Lynette gave it to me, and it just says, I have a question about disciplining children, and it just says, the big issue is the degree of discipline. I would agree. How hard, how severely do you discipline? If they spill their milk, do you spank them, send them to bed, and ground them for a week? Okay? No. So the idea that I want to go over this morning, and the person that wrote this down said discipline must be consistent, appropriate, and in accord. Now I'm going to go through this. I alliterated it all. Here you go. You ready? It must be consistent to the age of the child. If you take your one-year-old, I don't know, have you tried this, Amanda and Ryan, Jake and Micah, and tried to explain to him why it is that he shouldn't drop his Cheerios on the floor? Do you see my point? Trying to explain their behavior to a 1 or 2 year old doesn't really work. It's not for their best. Now, I'm going to really get down here because I'm going to really get myself in deep water and get in trouble. I believe that God, again, I believe that God has put extra padding on the backside when they're young for a purpose. That's just my belief. You can take it however you want to take it. I have very seldom seen a slight swat on the backside to be abusive. Can it become abusive? Sure can. I've gone to enough homeschool conventions, and I've gone enough to, that I've heard about fathers who put the end of a fishing pole in their sock so that they would have a switch to use whenever they need it for their children. I don't think it's necessary. I'm just saying, yeah, it can be. My point is the fact that there's reasons for it. Here you go. This is disciplining according to Don. That's why I'm down here, not up there. I would say 1 to 3 or 4 or 5, a swat on the backside is not going to hurt. Why? Because like I said, there's already padding there. And I believe if you do it in those ages, you won't have to do it when they get older. Okay? I have not spanked my 21-year-old daughter lately. Oh, no, 25-year-old daughter lately. All right? My 21-year-old son, I don't think he's gotten a spanking lately. All right. So my point is, apply it when the age is appropriate. When you get from 5 up until maybe 12 or 13, timeouts, taking away the iPad can be very effective. So as you transition from 1 to 3, does that mean you stop spanking because they're 5 now? Well, maybe not necessarily, because if they don't have their iPad, it might be the means whereby you have to. And hopefully when they get to 13 in the teenage years, you're able to use reason. Now, I do believe psychologists tell us that the frontal lobes of children that control reasoning are not fully developed until what age? Somebody got it? What is it, Ruth? She's saying 30. I heard 25. So even reasoning with your 18-year-old as to why they shouldn't be going 90 miles an hour around a corner doesn't necessarily work. But my point is, it needs to be age appropriate. Secondly, it needs to be aptitude appropriate. Now again, aptitude I used only because it's an A word. What I mean, it needs to be according to your child's aptitude. I can tell you, I had some kids, I told you this last week, my wife, what her hand would be red from applying it to the backside of Jason. He would turn around, laugh at her, and say, "Mom, it didn't even hurt." Okay? And she would say, "You wait till your dad gets home." Other children, if you just look at them cross-eyed, they run to their corner and cower in fear. It must be child appropriate. Thirdly, it must be action appropriate. The punishment must fit the crime. I already did this, all right? It should be appropriate to what they did. You need to figure that one out. Fourthly, it should be an agreement. You and your husband, you and your wife need to sit down and talk about how we're going to discipline our children and when. Because if you don't, they will learn, ha, daddy's gone. I can get away with it. Ha, mommy don't care. I tell you what, I'm going to go ask mommy if I can go to this person's house and spend the night because mommy will say yes and daddy will say no. You get my point? It needs to be agreeable. Not between you and the children, which comes with time. But as adults, you need to agree on how you're going to, otherwise you won't be consistent. Lastly, I put down here, it needs to be agreeable in its application. The way and when you're going to discipline. How are you going to discipline and what way are you going to discipline them? And when will you discipline them? So the way you apply it needs to be consistent. In other words, this is what we're going to do when this happens. And we're going to do it every time it happens. And number, I added a number six here later, okay? If you want to, you can put it in your notes if you're taking notes, but I added number six. The sixth A is apologize. You will not always get it right. And when you get it wrong, you need to apologize to your children. They need to know that you have their best interest in mind. And if your discipline crossed over a line that wasn't best for them, you need to be able to come to them, man up and say, I'm sorry. Now, if you do this every time you discipline them, you're going to give a wrong message. But I can remember disciplining, and I'm pretty sure it was Jennifer. She was on the top bunk. She was crying, and I had to go back in and say, Jennifer, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have reacted that way to you. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? I disciplined you inappropriately. So they learn that your best interest is their best interest. Why? Because discipline is for their good. It's for their best. Now, consequences is the second reason why we do good discipline. I'm not going to go through this. I'm not going to spend as much time on this. But consequences are the results of our discipline. First of all, the consequences of our discipline should bring repentance. Write down 2 Corinthians 7:10. The difference between worldly repentance and worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. You need to discern that difference. Are they just sorry that they got caught? Or that you had to discipline them? Or is their sorrow that which is going to lead them to repentance? Put that down. Secondly, the consequences are restoration. The consequences are you're going to make it right. You're going to correct it. And then lastly, the consequences are reconciliation. The restoration of the relationship. I remember being told this. I didn't really believe it at first. But having raised my six children, I believe it now very strongly. If you discipline your children correctly, they will come back and want to be restored to you. When it's all done, they'll come back and say, I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry, Dad, that I did that. Because they want the relationship restored. It might not happen in the first 5 minutes. But if there is true repentance, there will seek to be restoration of the relationship. Back again. Okay, so those are the consequences. Good discipline is consistent and brings about the consequences. Number five, it's for a purpose. Here we go. No discipline, our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines for our good, that we may share in His holiness. What's the first purpose of discipline? That our children will share in God's what? Holiness. Is your desire for your children their happiness or their holiness? You need to discipline their children for holiness. Titus 2:12 says that it teaches us to say no to ungodliness. Look it up. So we need to teach our children how to say no. All right. I've used this illustration in the past. I've already used one illustration. I'll use another one. When my wife, were we married yet, dear, when we went to Dane County? I think we were just dating. We went with a best friend of mine to see Bachman Turner Overdrive at the Dane County Coliseum. Now, how many of you know who Bachman Turner Overdrive is? Taking care of business. Okay. We went there to the Dane County Coliseum, which is the Coliseum in Madison, to see Bachman Turner Overdrive. It was our first really kind of concert that we went to. And all of a sudden, we see little glows coming and moving down the aisle, and one of them came our way. Now, are our mom and dad there? No. At this time, I might have only been 16 or 17. I think you're right, dear. Because mom and dad even gave me the car to go there, which is kind of astounding. But what did we do? We both passed it on down the line. Because why? We didn't want to participate in that. It teaches us to say no to ungodly living. Secondly, it gives us righteousness, all right? No discernment seems pleasant at the time, but painful later on. It produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. It gives us righteousness. It teaches us how to do that which is right, and peacefulness to be able to be at peace. I simply have to say, parents, as you raise children, you want to be at peace. I have to tell you, in fact, I will tell you this. There was a time in which, prior to cell phone, which, BC, before cell phone, when you are up at 12:30 or 1 o'clock in the morning because your son is not home yet and you can't call him on his cell phone, what is your response? Do you have the peace that passes all understanding that God has given to you? Not until the car drives in the driveway. And then you have a flood of peace. And then what happens? Whoa, where have you been, boy? My point is, we want to be able to raise our children so that we can have the peace of mind afterwards. And that the harvest of righteousness would be a harvest of peace. And that's what God talks about. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled. Neither may thou. Okay, now. It is 11:30. We can end now. I want to take just a couple moments for any questions or concerns. In fact, I've asked Dennis and Marcy, I would bring a chair and we'd come up here, but I guess in the sake of time, I'm not going to do that. Dennis and Marcy, you already kind of gave me your answer. I want you to give me one thing that you learned in disciplining your children about children. Okay, I'll give you two, Dennis. All right? Something you learned in disciplining your children. Yeah, Tyler, if you've got the cordless, it's up here. Okay. Now, this is for the sake as well of the recording, because we are recording the service. So, help us out. What's something that, you've heard my whole message, what's something that you would give as advice?
Several things, and that you hit. Consistent. And with that, I guess I'll ask Lynette. I'm not putting her on the spot, but I just want to know.
I do it all the time, Dennis.
Because, and answer truthful, because it happens. But when you said, if you act up in church, your mom will spank you. Every time you took one out, did you spank them? And that's my point is, consistency means if you make the threat, be ready to follow through.
Amen. That's the 1, 2, 3. If you make
because
peace, yep.
If you don't, then you've just lost. And the other thing I would say is, when you were talking about your household rules or whatever, that's great. You have to have limits, but you have to choose your battles wisely. You can't make it so stringent that, you tell a kid, if you sneak a cookie, you're getting a spanking. Guess what? Kids are going to sneak cookies. You can't put that out there. If they do, then you have to follow through and do what you said you would do. So, that part of it. And the fact that every kid is different. What works with this one won't necessarily work with this one. So, you need to be fair, but you have to keep in mind also, fair is not always equal, and equal is not always fair. I had the same thing. Hannah, you'd swat her once, she'd be crying and apologizing. Sarah, she's apologizing and crying before you ever get to her. Leah, it didn't matter how many swats you gave her, she'd just stare at you. You know, they're just different. I mean, it's not going to work the same with every one of them. So, you know, those things. But like I said, I think consistency and being, if you make the threat, then you better. I don't know how many times that I was out at midnight digging stuff out of the dumpster. Because you don't pick up your room, I'm throwing it in the garbage. Guess what? I would fill a garbage bag. I would take it out. I would throw it in the dumpster right in front of them. I mean, I said that's what I'm going to do, and I did it. Later on, they're all in bed and everything else. It's like, well, there's a lot of clothes in there. It's pretty expensive. You know, we better go. So, but they don't get them back right away. They still think you threw them in the dumpster. Week later, oh, that show up. Okay, fine. But I told them that's what I was going to do. And that's what, you know, many a night I was out there digging stuff out of a dumpster. I also spent a lot of time. You're watching too much television. If you don't shut that off, I'm going to cut the cord off of it. Well, guess what? I cut the cord off about 3 times. It had taped up spots and everything else because I would put it back. But I didn't tell them that and then not do it. Oh, Dad won't do that. So that to me is, you know, don't fight every battle, and don't, if you do, then follow through with what you say you're going to do.
Yeah.
Consistency.
And that's my point where I said, do it carefully, because your discipline of your children is going to cause you grief as well. And do you want to live with the grief that you're causing your children? Because you said, if you don't do that, I'm going to cut the TV. I would have said, we're not going to watch any TV for a whole week. Oh, gosh, the 7th game of the NFL is on tonight, and I can't watch it now. So my point is, be careful what you discipline your children with, because you got to pay for it too. All right, good job, Dennis. Thank you. Marcy.
I just real quick on, yes, I believe choose your battles wisely, and I am not a tough disciplinarian. He was more consistent than me. But something I learned with my children that I didn't learn until later was actually the 5 love languages. And a lot of times meeting each child where they were at, speaking to them in their love language, I didn't need to discipline. I could talk with them and meet them where they were. And it's amazing once you understand those love languages, how it actually helps your child come around more.
Okay. Right. And Marcy, I would as well, it's kind of amazing as I hear you guys, because again, do you see this? Dennis is talking about discipline. Marcy's talking about nurture. Dennis is talking about punishing the kids or training the kids and what needs to be right and wrong. Marcy's talking about, how do I nurture the kids? How do I speak their love language so they can learn more about, you know, how I care about them? And I believe that's a biblical thing. I really do. I believe guys are to discipline, women are to teach and instruct.
And that's one thing that with her, she would make those threats and then I have no intention whatsoever. And I'm like, be careful. If you say that, you need to do that. And if you don't, I probably will. So don't be making threats for me, because I will have to carry them out. And I may not want to.
All right. I've asked Dennis and Marcy, anybody else that would like to share their wisdom in disciplining their children? Anybody else that wants to join us? And then if not, I'm going to give it to my wife, and she's going to give us some suggestions, all right? So anybody else have anything they would like to say? If not, I'll come. You want to hear Daniel? Anybody else? Gary, Marilyn, I had asked you earlier, do you have anything or not? Okay. Mark, did you have anything you wanted to? Okay. Now without Mary. Okay, anybody else? Susan, you got anything you want to add to it? All right, then. The greatest and the final words of wisdom come from, from my wife. Dear, do you have...
Child.
All right, Joelle's going to give a child's perspective. She's going to tell you what we did wrong, okay? Are you ready?
No.
Here we go now.
Just as a child, like, I don't know. It's great to, like, look back on it and see how your parents did discipline you and how that was out of love. Because you look at kids that weren't disciplined and just how their life turned out. So you really see it as a blessing later on. So,
yeah.
Just said that. And I worked at a studio for photography, and I would observe parents who did discipline their kids. And then observe the kids who weren't disciplined, who said they would not get the toy afterwards, and the parents would go and buy them the toy. And I noticed as a teenager how the kids acted, like just the comparison of the parents who followed through with the discipline and the ones who didn't. Kind of what Dennis was saying.
Yeah. Thank you, Joelle, for that. She worked for a while at the JCPenney Portrait Studio and took pictures of the kids. So you get the screaming, you know, all that kind of drama that you would hit. And she did a great job of doing that. So let me kind of give you, this is my last little bit of philosophy, if I can. Again, please forgive me, because I told you this has been building for 10 years. I've been wanting to preach on this. All right. Since I started driving a school bus and I saw kids getting on my bus, like Joelle said, that were disciplined and that weren't. Here's the deal. I believe God disciplines as a balance between law, you shall not, thou shalt not, and grace. Does God discipline us according to thou shalt not? Yeah. Does God give grace? Yeah. And so the disciplining of your children somehow works out the law of God, thou shalt not. Here's the discipline and the grace of God. If you border on grace, you're going to be too lenient. If you border on law, the kids are going to rebel. That to me is the key, is balancing those two things, the grace of God and the law of God. So, amen? Okay.